Good Sunday evening, everyone. Welcome to this edition of episode 139 of the Houston Round Ball Review presents Folks Talking Sports. I am, of course, KG Chris Gardner, owner of the Houston Round Ball Review. And joining me is none other than Brother Willie Gibson. How are you, sir?
Fantastic, sir. How about yourself?
Doing great. Doing great. Mr. Gibson, enlighten me. Educate me, please, if you don't mind, sir.
Sure.
Did the Browns play today?
The Browns did play today. They were at Jacksonville.
Oh, that's right. You made a prediction on that. And what happened?
The Cleveland Browns won 18-13.
Oh, okay. So give me some info on that that game.
Well, yeah.
Hold on, sir. Yeah. I got to be petty. You know me. Cool. You know me. I'm as you call me. What is it?
Petty Pendergrass.
That's me. Yes, very much. Today is a great day.
Okay.
Because the Dallas Cowboys lost.
Okay.
And the Washington Commanders won. So okay. It's been a long time. It hasn't happened too often in the last who knows how long.
Yeah.
But that has happened on the same day. But I digress. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. The Cleveland Browns won 18-13 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Deshaun Watson started, played the entire game, looked better than he did last week. He had a rushing touchdown. Last week he had a passing touchdown. This week he had a rushing touchdown. Threw for 189, I believe. They ran as a team for 126 yards. Not the best looking win, but it's 1-17. A win is a win. So they moved to 500. Big win because Baltimore lost. Mm-hmm. So the Ravens are now 0-2. Looks like the Steelers and the Bengals are on their way to being 1-1, as the Browns are. Actually, the Bengals are playing in Kansas City right now, up to like 8 minutes to go, last I looked. So it was a good win. A good win, a conference win. So when it comes down to playoff seeding, if it leads to that down the line, they did get a conference win. So 1-1 coming home. Week 3, next week, they play the New York Giants.
Oh, see, it's a small world because the New York Giants lost to the Commanders today.
Yeah.
21-18. And it small world again because Monday, episode 138, you mentioned that the Commanders waved their kicker.
Cade York,
and that was waving Cade York and that was tied to the Browns for the trade. So because it was involving a conditional draft pick.
Yep.
And newly signed Austin Siebert for the Commanders made 7 field goals today for the team, including the game-winning field goal. I don't know how many people had him on their fantasy teams before today. But I'm sure he's going to be picked up a lot after today. And, I mean, there was a reason why he was available. Let's be clear about that, okay?
Also a former Browns kicker.
See? And he was a former kicker because he was not consistently reliable.
He was not good. They actually drafted him in the 4th round, and he was not good.
So there you go. So fantasy owners, beware.
Yeah.
He made a lot of kicks today. He may not make 7. He won't make 7 again rest of it, you know, in a game for the rest of this season, most likely. Yeah. But with Washington having a rookie quarterback and sometimes rookies struggle in the red zone. So whoever the Washington kicker is, Austin Siebert is that kicker right now. They should get a lot of opportunities to make field goals rather than PATs this season. Just putting it out there. But yes, Big Thrillo, how are you doing, Thrillo? Well, see, Thrillo saying right there next week for the Browns should be a win. Because the G-men aren't very good.
Yeah, they just got to continue to get better. I mean, this is preseason. I mean, Deshaun didn't play in the preseason. So he's literally knocking the rust off. He played his second game since November.
Yep.
So what's that second game in 10 months? So he's just continue to build and continue to improve, continue to shake the rust off, and he'll continue to do that. So.
And Ms. Wanda, thank you for chiming in. Thrillo, we're going to talk about the Tigers, TSU. They have a game this coming Saturday against Lamar. Lamar had a big win yesterday for the Southland Conference. But very quickly, because he's going to be busy in about starting in 75 minutes or so, we're going Miss Wanda and Thrillo. You're gonna enjoy this. I feel big time about to do this. We're gonna go live on location to NRG Stadium, joining Mr. Adolphus A.D. Moore, because he is getting ready for the Texans Bears Sunday night football game. And how are you, Mr. Moore?
Good afternoon. Is it evening? Is it after 6 o'clock? Evening after 6 o'clock, right?
Yes, sir. Gentlemen,
how are y'all doing, man? Will, you're looking sharp, man. How was church today, man?
Church was great, man. The invisible fits, man. It was great.
No, man. Hey, everything's great, man. Folks, you know what? Even with a Sunday night game, I think more folks still in the parking lot because trying to get the sun. And I'm seeing folks. I'm seeing folks walking around with cases of 18 and 24 packs of that nice beverages that you drink, man. So yep. People are, they're getting into the tailgating and everything else. But expecting an interesting game today. Tonight, after watching some of the contests that happened today, man, and particularly that team up north from us, you know, Will, I know that I know you like. I know where you like that, didn't you?
Yeah, wait a minute.
That's the other team up north.
Yeah,
the team. Uh-huh. Up 45.
That's in deference to my good friend Mr. Gibson. There, yes, I figured I would go ahead and I knew he would like that. I said that team up north, so I wanted to make that reference and everything. But now, man, hey, getting ready about 7:20 kick, Texas Bears. I'm gonna be candid with you. Hey, man. This is the NFL. Until we get to the end of September, I don't think you're going to see any continuity. I don't think you'll see any fluidity about these teams at all. And I think you've seen that so far today. And I just think right now, and it's interesting because I had a conversation with one of the Texans players. I'm not going to call their name Friday afternoon, just going through the open locker room. And they pretty well agree. Hey, by the time the end of September, we'll start seeing true NFL football, but not until then. Okay, that's just it being what it is. But the roof is open. That was interesting. Last time I remember seeing the roof open, the Texans were expecting the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they came in and beat the dog crap out of them. So I'm not sure. Hopefully with the night, and it's supposed to be thunder showers. But Chris, I'm looking at a magnificent sun over my left shoulder here, man. Sitting in the room here, and I almost thought I was walking in the Soldier Field, man.
All the Bears fans.
Oh man, but it's still early. But I've seen a lot of the Bears with they got their traveling orange on, so it's gonna be interesting to see tonight, man.
Mr. Moore, Miss Wanda says hello. Just want to poke the queen of the Houston Round Ball Review Media Group. She says hello.
Hello, Miss Polk. How are you doing? Thank you very much. Thank you for the, and I know everybody's sort of waiting. By the way, since I'm at it, that if you got insomnia tonight, I will be on the corner tonight after the game.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I will be on the corner. It might be 11:15-ish, 11:30, but I will be on the corner tonight. I will be coming from here. I will be coming from NRG Stadium tonight on the AdMax Corner YouTube channel, the Houston Roundball Review YouTube channel, and as well as the Facebook page. I'm still having some issues with it, even though they put it out after I get off the air, but they're still putting it out there. So we still trying to work that situation out. But the main thing is that the Houston Roundball Review channel and the AdMax Corner YouTube channel will be live with some with interviews and cuts and everything once this game is done. Win or lose, we'll be him reporting from NRG Stadium.
Mr. Moore, just for a moment, indulge me for a moment, sir. Just slide a little bit to your right.
Oh, that
look
way.
Look at that, Brother Gibson. You see that shirt there?
That way.
Houston Round Ball Review Media Group.
Yep.
Hello, see that shirt there? Miss Juana, do you see that shirt right there? Houston Round Ball Review Media Group. You got three shirts, colored shirts, black, blue, Navy, right? Navy.
Gray.
Another gray. So, yes, See that? I'm just patting ourselves on the back right there. And remind folks again, where are you again? What sport?
Football. National football.
Yeah, yes. That's right. Football. Yeah, okay. I'm just making sure, you know, because some folks, AD's, Will, you'll enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
AD keeps me grounded.
Okay.
AD keeps me focused on the main thing, being the main thing.
Yep.
AD reminds me, just keep working, keep grinding. Don't worry about those other folks. We doing what we're doing. So I'm not going to be petty. I'm just going to keep moving forward. And there we go. All right, Mr. Moore. Any key to victory tonight for the Texans?
I tell you what, it's.
You can slide back over now. We got, you know, okay. Over the screen. Thank, yeah, right, thank, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. It's going to be interesting to see how the matchup between the Texans receivers against the Bears corners. That because they got both of them, they got some very talented corners. We're going to see how that's going to work. Well, and also we got to see, all right, will the Bears load the box to stop Joe Mixon? I'm gonna be looking real quick, and I know Bobby Slowick, you know, he's from that school at 15 play, you know, they script the first 15 plays. So it's gonna be interesting how the Bears defensively decide they want to try to contain the Texans tonight. And on the offensive side, I want to see between Matt Burks and D'Amico Ryans, how they're going to play with play against the young man's his head. And I'm interested to see how they want to play with it and mess with his head as far as coverages and fake blitzes and everything. You know, Mr. Gibson has already explained to me that the young man that we were fortunate to get, he came very well tooled. And so now we'll see how Caleb Williams and his tutelage, you know, is he ready for the big time, for the big spot, the big highlight? And we'll see tonight, man. That's pretty much it in a nutshell, sir, gentlemen.
Brother Gibson, what do you say? What are your thoughts on tonight's matchup between the Texans and the Bears?
Yeah, I think it's Caleb Williams' second NFL start. I do think D'Amico Ryans and his coach staff is going to have some, as they like to say, exotic looks for him. And I think Stroud and Mixon, I think Mixon is an underrated signing by the Texans. Not a lot of there are a lot more hoopla made over other signings that the Texans made this offseason. But I think Joe Mixon is paying dividends. And now, more importantly, he's paying dividends for the Texans, but he's definitely missed in Cincinnati. I've watched some of this Cincinnati game, and you know they have two running backs, and I don't believe they combined run for the 159 last week. Joe Mixon, 159.
Yeah, 159.
Yeah, so I think that's an underrated, under the radar signing, and I think him along takes a lot of the pressure off of CJ, and CJ doesn't have to put everything on his shoulder. And with that being said, I think the Texans are going to win this game tonight.
AD, I know you're there, and maybe you shouldn't do this, but do you care to make a prediction?
I don't mind making a prediction, but you know what? After seeing some of these calls today by the NFL officials, I ain't scared, you know, you put it like this, but I'm gonna just back off. I know the Texans are favored by 6.5.
Right.
At least that's the last I looked at it. You know, and the thing about it, this is still the second game of the season. Everybody's still getting their legs under them, and it's still some strange things are gonna happen, as we've already witnessed today on the second week of the NFL season. And I expect to see the same thing here tonight. So will the Texans cover? You know what? At this point, we take a win. I know what D'Amico Ryan say. Whatever way it takes for us to win, that's where the Texans are going to do it. If they only get 75, Joe Mixon only gets 75 yards tonight, and they still come out winning. I mean, Stephon Diggs may not get two touchdowns tonight. The question is going to be, how do they contain the Texans receiving core? That's going to be interesting. And then, you know, somebody, they got to figure out how they want to stop them. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I want to see when the Texans get the ball first, whenever they, you know, whether they defer or not. I want to see how they want to attack the Bears tonight. So I'll take the Texans by field goal.
All right, last thing, you know, Big Thrillo with his football knowledge as well. He played ball. One more comment from him. Texans last year did play down to their opponents, but they should win. So y'all agree that the Texans should win tonight?
I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Mr. Moore. Thank you coming live from NRG Stadium. I really shouldn't say the name of the stadium because they're not paying us for anything, but excuse me. But we'll see you later on tonight on the corner after the game.
Appreciate it, gentlemen. Hey, I'm out. Don't forget tonight, sometime 11:30, I'm on the corner. The Houston Roundball Review YouTube channel, the Ad Max Corner YouTube channel primarily, and then the my Facebook page. But those are the two primary ones. And if you have not subscribed to either one of those channels, go ahead and subscribe. I know some folks out there haven't. Go ahead and hit the check mark now, especially when I get on later on tonight. But, hey, guys, I appreciate it. I'm going to get off and go get situated again. Might go grab me a cold bottle of water and get rid of.
he's laughing. So he's bringing it on himself. So,
yeah, you know, I'm like, what's wrong? What's wrong?
Go get that water, Mr. Moore. Enjoy that water.
We'll do, man. Gentlemen, all I'm right. out, man. See you later.
All right.
All
right. A.D. Moore. Coming from NRG Stadium. Thank you very much. A little something different. It's a benefit of the Texans giving some primetime games. Mm-hmm. Actually, because Mr. Gibson had a change in schedule. So instead of going on Monday, we're doing Sunday. So I decided to reach out to AD and see if he could join us from the stadium. And he said yes. So that worked out great. So excellent. Technology is a beautiful thing when you put it to good use, as Thrillo says. This is true. You agree with this, Will? There's nothing like a tall glass of water. See?
Indeed.
That is so true. College football. How can I phrase this? Your thoughts on the Longhorns being number one in the poll now?
It's September 15th. I've never been a fan of preseason polls. I'm about to age myself. I want to say in the old days, no one's played a conference game yet, but that doesn't apply any longer. It doesn't matter. To me, it never really mattered until mid-October. Mm-hmm. And conversely, to prove that point, the BCS polls began circulating around mid-October. And now, especially with the 12-team playoff format debuting this year for this college football playoff, polls matter even less to me, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean that they're number one? I mean, that's great for that program. You know, it's a feather in Steve Sarkisian's cap and something to recruit upon this week. When you make your calls to your recruits to say, hey, we're the number one team in the country, that's great for marketing purposes. But in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't mean a lot.
Agreed. And I'm curious, the recruiting part you brought up, I wonder how many of the players, the recruits, really care about being they're the team they're looking at or any of the teams they are looking at being ranked at a point in time as opposed to getting to the championship game, winning it all, winning the chip, those kind of things.
I think some still do, but I think the shift is occurring because, again, this is the first year of the 12-team playoff, so it's really kind of a new kind of wait and see how is this going to all play out. But I think as it continues and it moves on and, you know, potentially increase to 14, 16 teams, is a AP or a coach's poll after week three of college football really going to matter in the grand scheme of things? I don't think so. I don't think it really does now, but I think as we go on, I think it's going to matter even less.
Any other takeaways from the weekend in college football?
Yes, Georgia is very, very extremely fortunate that they didn't lose to Kentucky. because they really should have lost that game in the grand scheme of things. And LSU. LSU was down 17-0 on the road at South Carolina. Came back to take the lead with less than 2 minutes to go, and South Carolina missed a field goal that could have potentially sent the game to overtime. So LSU is the SEC. I imagine that the SEC is fortunate, I'll say. But those are the two things. It's like, oh, the third thing, the University of Toledo, Northwest Ohio, went to Stark Vegas yesterday, Mississippi State, Starkville, Mississippi, and beat the Mississippi State Bulldogs. And on the way home, picked up a check for a cool $1.8 million for the honor of beating Mississippi State. So the check game sometimes works.
And Mr. Gibson, you touched on it right there. Previously, before you said Mississippi State,
yeah,
about the SEC, what conference does Mississippi State play in?
Yeah, the SEC. Imagine that.
But see, and it's warranted. Okay, let me be clear. The SEC is the top of the conference is
top heavy. Yep.
Top heavy, legit, year in, year out.
Yep.
But you mentioned it, Toledo winning a check game. Money games have been biting folks back. So we go back to our point that we've said for a long time here on Folks Talking Sports shows, that the SEC is great, but media tends to forget about the other teams in the SEC. Just putting it out there.
And no one mentioned that Vanderbilt lost to Georgia State. Oops, I just did.
Oops. Oh, you sure did. Oh,
sorry about that.
Oh, but wait, Will, Vanderbilt, aren't they a bad football team? Aren't they like an anchor of the conference? Isn't, but why? Oh, I'm going to do it again. I shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But, oh, no, but the Big 12 doesn't want to have UConn in the conference because it's bad for the conference. Okay. I'm sorry. Correct me if I'm wrong. Oh, my bad. I didn't know those things. No, I don't know. But anyhow, tied it all in real quickly because we're not going to keep everybody. No folks want to get ready for the Texans-Bears game. Mm-hmm. WNBA.
Yes, sir.
Three teams are vying for the eighth and final spot in the playoffs. Atlanta Dream, Washington Mystics, and the Chicago Sky. Well, the Dream came, well, the Mystics had a lead late in the fourth quarter with a chance to go up two games with 2 games ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Lost. So they're now tied with the Dream at 13-25. The Chicago Sky, right now, as we speak, is losing at home to the Phoenix Mercury. The Sky is 13-24.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Sky loses that game, those three teams will still be tied. They'll be now 13-25. I think in a three-way tie, the Mystics still win the three-way tie, I think. But obviously, if the Sky wins this game against the Mercury, they'll have a one-game lead with 2 games to go. And the winner of, you know, whoever gets that eighth spot gets the chance to face, I think, the Liberty in the first round.
Mm.
Good luck to you. Whoever it is, good luck to you.
Right.
The only saving grace, the first round is just 3 games. It's the best of three. And it's even that is still unique because the first 2 games are at the better team's site.
Mm.
So game three, by some chance, by some miracle, sorry, Sky, Dream, Mystics fans, by some miracle, your team happens to win one of those first 2 games in New York, you'd get game three at your place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a strange thing in the first round of the WNBA playoffs. Then the semifinals and the finals is best of five in a typical 2-2-1 format. But yeah, the first round is still a little quirky. But the Liberty lost today to Minnesota. So there's still a chance, very slim, still a chance. It's a 2-game lead for New York over Minnesota with 2 games to go.
Didn't AD screw me? I just a moment ago.
Mm-hmm.
when you asked AD his prediction on the Texans game, and he wanted to say something, he said, but I don't know with the calls that's been going on in the NFL today.
Yes.
Okay, I just saw another one. If anyone sees the highlights, yes, Thrillo. Yes, Thrillo, you saw it too. Fourth and 16, Kansas City down two with 48 seconds left. Patrick Mahomes throws a pass, and it was called pass interference on Cincinnati.
Go ahead, say it. Say it.
AD said, with the calls going on today, I just saw another one. Ooh-wee. Wow.
So where does that put the ball?
That puts the ball inside the 40 with 23 seconds to go, and the clock is running. They have three timeouts. It's kind of confusing to me. Okay, they finally called the timeout. Yeah, that was a little different. That was a little different. Now, I will say this. Shout out to our big brother, AJ Jones, and the keeping up with the Joneses pick'em challenge. I did pick Kansas City, so that's helping me. But, it's a little different. It's a little different.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And that's the beauty of doing the show on Sunday sometimes. You can do the show and give commentary while the games are going on. So that's great. Because while you're doing the football, the Las Vegas Aces in a game I was looking really forward to between the Aces and the Connecticut Sun. I think that's what the Sun or third and fourth place teams in WNBA. Aces are now up 20. Nice. Wow. Early in the fourth quarter. So much for that. But anyway. But the Indiana Fever, Caitlin Clark. And Kelsey Mitchell. There you go. Not enough folks. I don't know why. Not enough folks are giving Kelsey Mitchell much needed appreciation. They combined for 65 points today.
Oh.
Caitlin Clark scored 35. Kelsey scored 30. They defeated the Dallas Wings 110-109. It was a 4-point game with 2 seconds left. Dallas hit a 3-pointer with no time left. So, for the final score, if anyone cares about the margin of victory, if that's of interest to you. But yes, the final score is 110-109. So Thurlow said the Chiefs won. So kick the field goal to win. Interesting. Well, who the favored team is in the NFL.
Of course.
That's another story. I won't talk about that anymore. But I'm curious. I'm looking forward to the WNBA playoffs because, let's see, the Fever, Indiana Fever, are the sixth seed. Oh, wow, they played Connecticut in the first round. That'd be interesting. That'd be kind of the veteran Connecticut Sun team, very physical. The young-ish Fever team with the superstar, Caitlin Clark, the veteran, Kelsey Mitchell, Buckeye, being the leader to guide them through that. In a three-game series, just need those two to get hot for two games. That could be it right there. It could be an upset. And boy, don't you know ESPN will be thrilled.
Oh, I love it.
For as long as Caitlin Clark is playing, they'll be loving that to pieces. Mr. Gibson, I hope Miss Wanda's still on, because she can provide some Cougar perspective on this. You as a Buckeye, outside looking in. Well, no, as a football person. You touched on it kind of a little bit with the Browns. The job of a head coach is to do what? The objective is of the game is
to win the game.
Is to win the game. Ugly, pretty, none of that. Just to win the game, right?
Yep.
The Houston Cougars, my alma mater, and Thrillo real quick, the favorite. To me, Minnesota is the favorite. Offense and defense, they get it done. But out of the top four, Minnesota, pick one. I think Minnesota, New York, and the reigning champ Aces. I think one of those three teams will win the chip. What say you, real quick, and then we get back to the Cougars?
I would agree with that for sure. Yeah, Aces. I think they started out slow. They had little challenges at the beginning, but they're starting to. I don't want to say peak. at the right time, but they're getting. You see evidence of improvement the last few games, and it's at the right time. It's playoff time. It's winning time. So, I mean, you gotta to be the champ, you gotta beat the champ. So, you know, I would definitely include them as well as you said, the Liberty as well. So, I would agree with you. Yes.
All right. Fair enough. Cougs, talk again. Donovan Mitchell, quarterback for the Cougs. I'm not a fan of anybody. I cover all these teams, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of my university, my alma mater, but I'm calling like I see it. Mm-hmm. Donovan Mitchell, quarterback, has not played great these first three games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yesterday, first quarter, missed a wide open running back teammate, Stacy Snead, come out the flat. Wide open. Tossed the ball to him as a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But he missed him. He didn't see him. Mm-hmm. That happens. You know, you don't make the right read all the time. The Cougs beat Rice up front. They ran over Rice.
Sure.
Okay. Which warms my heart. I mean, just smash mouth, defensive line dominated Rice. And
for the bucket, right?
Yeah. For the Bayou bucket.
Bayou bucket. Okay.
And Michael. Defensive player for the Cougs, Michael Batton. Some folks say Batten. I've heard all kinds of pronunciations for his last name. Had a great line post-game. We took their soul. I mean, we took their soul. That is a great line. The defense was shutting out Rice until the last drive of the game for Rice when Coach Fritz put in, you know, the third and fourth string guys and to get them some look, all that kind of stuff. Rice crossed midfield, I think, once until the fourth quarter. Well, okay. I mean, it was just a dominating performance. As we said post-game yesterday on Let's Rage Cougs, the Cougs look like the big brother against the little brother. You know, it's like, yeah, Rice, y'all over there. Okay, y'all won last year because we had a bad coach. So we have a good coach now. We're going to show you who's a better team. So they did all that. Say all that, long-winded. As a quarterback, Donovan Smith's job is to manage the game, to call the plays that the coach asks him to call.
Mm-hmm.
Fans are upset at him. He's not cutting it. He's not doing this, that, and the other. Well, one, again, the Cougs won. 33-7. They ran over Rice. But he's not cutting it. And I'm like, what do you want him to do?
What's the problem?
And, Will, you've been around sports a long time.
Yeah.
First-year coach, most of the good ones, are trying to establish a winning culture.
Yep.
Correct?
Correct.
And after a while, you give your players a chance to earn their minutes, right?
Correct.
So if Donovan Smith is the starting quarterback through three games, as of right now, I think Coach Fritz is comfortable with Donovan Smith, and the other quarterbacks have not beat him out.
Correct.
So if that is the case, what's the problem? I don't understand the I don't know, I won't call it bitterness, but why are they holding him to a higher standard? And this is going to be a rough year anyway. Thriller knows this football player. Be careful what you wish for. Miss Wanda, Cougar fans are not happy unless she knows right there. Unless they have something to complain about.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Donovan Smith's QB play is the reason for them to complain. I don't
know. I mean, what's his? I mean, I haven't seen him. I mean, what's his numbers? I mean, what was he?
Yesterday, he was 12 for 21, no turnovers, like a 150, something like that. On the ground, had rushing touchdown, a little bit of everything, but he wasn't. ask throw the ball deep or anything like that. His touchdown pass was a little dump off pass to the receiver, and, mm-hmm. and the receiver did the rest.
Okay.
So a lot of his passes, completions were just in the flat, little short passes. If that's what the coach calls.
Yeah, I was going to say, doing what he's asked to do. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not so far. He does not have the flexibility to call his own plays.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So unless that changes, he's calling and doing what the coaches want him to do.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah. I mean, this is, and clearly there were some play calls from the coaches that were, there was a 4th-and-1 call. All right, Will, just visualize this. 4th-and-1, like I said, they were dominating Rice up front.
Mm-hmm.
4th-and-1, Cougs went wide, like 3 wide, like 2 mm-hmm. wide up front, up top, 1 down, spread backfield.
Mm-hmm.
And passed to like the small, and handed off to the smallest back they have.
Mm.
Rice blew it up. I mean, like a 3-yard loss.
Wow.
And then soon after they got the ball back, the coaches like realized, oh, let's give Donovan Smith the ball, have him keep it, and just power through. And then he scored. I'm like, this is not that complicated. Why are you making this difficult? Spreading out the defense and all this other kind of stuff. Don't overthink it.
Yep.
You got an event. You got a man 6'5", 230. Give him the ball rather than somebody 5'9", maybe 200.
Awesome. Yeah.
But Cougars play in Ohio this coming Saturday against the Bearcats. Right? Yes.
Okay.
11 o'clock Central Time on FS1.
Okay.
The Cougars are going to lose. I'll be very...
Really? Cincinnati's not the best right now.
Well, the Cougs aren't either. Let me see if there's an early line for the game.
Okay. Yeah.
It's going to be, it should be a low scoring game. Bearcats by 5.5. So, yeah, right now, Bearcats are favored by 5.5. Wow. Over under is 48.5.
Okay.
So I am kind of curious to see how the Cougs O-line does running the ball against a bigger front. You know, Rice is not a Big 12 team. Okay, Thrillo, no offense, you know it. Rice is better than TSU. Okay, that's a different level of football. All right. Rice is not the Bearcats. So, but I want to see how the defense looks. Defense has played great these first 3 games. The defense and the tackling, so much better than it was in game one. Well, it played solid in game one, much better against Oklahoma than yesterday against Rice. But of course, again, it's Rice.
Mm-hmm.
That's, Rice is not Oklahoma. Defense did a good job against Oklahoma. Limited the Sooners to like 14 points and under 300 yards total. I mean, that's solid, especially in today's college football. That's doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking forward to seeing what they do this Saturday on the road against Cincinnati. I think they're, you know, fairly evenly matched.
Mm-hmm.
You know, neither team is the top of the Big 12. Both teams are trying to move up the ladder in the Big 12. So kind of curious to see what Thriller see. Thriller, he is honest. I appreciate his honesty. You know, he tells it like it is. My school just caught us straight. No lies were told. Man, that's true. That's a fact. All right, last thing. Last thing.
Yes, sir.
Is the new pack, whatever, a power conference or still a G5 conference?
It's the G5 conference.
Thank you.
No question.
I don't see. Well, I mean, I guess it's for conversation, or I understand from the Pac-12 commissioner's perspective, it's your conference, you know, Oregon State and Washington State. But you're adding, there's only 2 power schools left.
Right.
So everyone they add is coming from where?
G5.
Which makes them
a
G5 conference. So I don't see that changing. I don't see them, that status changing whenever the next vote is from the Power 4 conferences. Are going to say, oh yeah, you guys now have what, 8-10 members? Oh yeah. Okay. Well, welcome back to power conference status. No,
No,
that's not going to change. I'm. What are your thoughts on this? About, well, first, what are your thoughts on Boise State, San Diego State, Fresno State? You know, them leaving Mountain West to go to the Pac-2.
I think there's financial considerations involved. I mean, and good for them. Why would they not look to fill the coffers, so mm-hmm. to speak? But just because, you know, as you said, you have the name of a former Power Five conference, but the product is not Power Five quality.
Agreed.
Colorado State, Boise State, no, that's not. I mean, and their mindset is the NCAA said we have to get back to 8 schools minimum
mm-hmm.
to reclaim our Power Five status. So they're just grabbing for schools to get to 8. They're not looking at schools that are capable of maintaining the Power Five status. To me, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the money they're going to get, they're getting from the schools that left, like Colorado, the schools that joined the Big 12, but they were power conference schools. Plus, you know, so Arizona State, Colorado, Washington, Oregon going to the Big 10, Cal, Stanford going to the ACC. Mm-hmm. So they left, and the conference has a lot of money. Like what, 100 million plus, something like that total. So they can give the new members for their first year or, you know, whatever, first year or two.
Mm-hmm.
But media rights, I'm curious to see Tulane or Memphis, you know, as example, as schools in the American, if the media right money is the same. Or let me stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
With the new schools in the Pac 6, 8, 10, whatever it ultimately becomes, would you as a media network or do you see that conference as constructed receiving more money than the, you know, per school, which is, I think, roughly 7-8 million per school that the schools in the American get right now?
It's a great question. More than 7 or 8, yes.
Really?
Not much more, but if the question is more than 7 or 8, yes. Because I think what's going to happen is this. George Kalyakoff, he had 30 on the table when he had UCLA, USC, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with Oregon State or Washington State being the status schools in the Reconstructed Conference, I think somebody would give him 9, 10.
Okay.
I think, you know, did I hear UNLV was possibly joining that group as well?
I think eventually, yes.
I think
one reason some folks saying no is because of the politics involved. UNLV would have to take Nevada together.
Okay.
And they don't want to do that. Okay. So
Fair enough. Not much more than 7 or 8, but I would think that they could get a little more than that.
Okay, that's fair. All right, so let's say it's 9 or 10. If you're Memphis and Tulane, would that difference of $1 million, 1 or 2 million, be enough for you to leave the American? Memphis. If you're really, in all honesty, you're still a G5 conference.
Right. Yes, because at that point, you're opening up recruitment. You're opening it up your base to the West Coast.
Okay.
So in that respect, I think so.
All right, that's fair. And Memphis, I guess what I should say, Mike Norvell, how you doing?
I got it. Travis Hunter. After what I saw last night, I was leaning that way anyway, Thrillo. But after I saw last night, 100 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns offensively, an interception. And the key that I don't think a lot of people caught, and I think the people, this is the main, what I'm going to say next is what I believe Americans really pay attention to when it comes to Travis Hunter. He missed one defensive snap last night. Yeah. And the one defensive snap that he missed, Colorado State scored a touchdown.
That's a great point.
I believe the receiving touchdowns, the pick, all that is great. But he missed one defensive snap, and that's the play on which Colorado State scored their only touchdown. To me, it's hands down Travis Hunter. Quinn Ewers is great. Miller Moss at USC is great. They're great players in college football, without question. But above everyone else, head and shoulders, to me, is Travis Hunter.
And where was he? Where did he sign initially out of high school?
He initially signed at he committed to Florida State.
Committed.
Yeah, he committed to Florida State. Didn't they lose to Memphis yesterday to go 0-3?
Yes, and that's why I say again, Mike Norvell, how you doing? That'll do. We're going to wrap it up right there. Thank you as well. Thank you as always, old man. Salute to Thrillo.
Can I say one thing?
Yo, of course. Go ahead, bro.
I just want to shout out to Big Ten, and you'll see where I'm going after I say this. Just shout out to Big Ten. Women's College Volleyball this Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Big Ten Network. The Big Ten Network, number 2 Stanford at number 5 Nebraska. Big Ten Network, Women's Volleyball. Big Ten Women's Volleyball. Stanford at Nebraska, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern.
That's a great note. That's great to see. And I hope everything goes well in that match.
You know where I'm going.
Oh,
Wednesday. Okay. Wednesday, women's volleyball, Stanford.
Yeah.
At Nebraska. Big Ten.
Hey, if I have time, I'm going to try to catch some of that as well, you know. But Thrillo, thank you for your comments, man. Good luck to TSU this weekend. I think they're on the road in Beaumont against Lamar. I think that's right. Good luck to them again. Who the Buckeyes play this week? Will they off? We got the game.
Marshall, Sunday at high noon at the Shoe.
So they're off again. Okay. but Texas, salute to Steve Sarkisian.
Yes.
Arch Manning is a good quarterback.
Yes.
The reason Arch Manning got playing time is because Quinn Ewers got hurt.
Yes.
So, folks, when we talk about 2 quarterbacks, when you don't have any. Mm-hmm. Injuries make a difference. Okay, if Quinn Ewers were not injured, Arch Manning was not going to play. So let's not get it twisted here about that. As talented as he is, Quinn Ewers earned that starting spot. Simple as that. So it's, you know, but. All right. Yeah, we're looking at the Sky. Chicago Sky is losing by 5. So it could be a 3-way tie for the 8th spot in the WNBA standings with about 90 seconds left. The Aces beat the Sun by 13, 84-71. The final score, of course, the Indiana Fever beat the Dallas Wings 110-109. As Caitlin Clark scored 35 points, and Kelsey Mitchell from where?
The Ohio State University.
Scored 30 points, and hopefully very soon I'll have post-game comments from the Fever posted on the Houston Round Ball Review YouTube channel. So everyone, Thank you very much for taking time as you're getting yourselves ready to watch the Texans and the Bears on Sunday Night Football. Kicking off at 8:20 Eastern Time, 7:20 Central. And the game after the game, Mr. Adolphus A.D. Moore will be live streaming his next show from the corner, the AdMax corner from the stadium, providing insight and comments, post-game comments. Just tune in to that show here on the Houston Roundball Review Media Group YouTube channel. So, Brother Gibson, these closing moments, in the words of Slick Rick, the world is yours.
Sir, as always, KG, appreciate the opportunity. Thank you again. You can find me on social media as the Cross States on X at WillGibson7, on Facebook at WillKnows, and on IG and Threads at WillKnowSports.
And I am KG Chris Gardner. I'll just do this, listen for a little bit. Follow me, the show, Folks Talking Sports on IG and Threads. Thank you, everyone, for chiming in. Reminder, we're still looking for an advertiser, a sponsor for this show, for FTS. You know, it's good to have it up there, but I'm really tired of seeing your ad here. I want to see someone up there. And if you are interested, just email me at advertise@thehrr.com, advertise@thehrr.com. This Thursday will not be a live show on the lunch break for the takeover, so it's going to be either a pre-recorded show or a previous show. I'm going to be doing a job assignment on Wednesday and Thursday, take all day. But thank you, as always, to everyone for your time, comments, insight, and your questions. And of course, tell your friends about this show. Tell your friends about Folks Talking Sports and how we do things here. Tell your friends about the Houston Roundball Review Media Group. Subscribe to the channel. Click on that bell so you can receive notifications when new shows and new content is posted on the channel, like the upcoming AdMax Corner show from the stadium after the Texans-Bears game. And as always, since 1994, the Houston Roundball Review. Local name, global perspective. Everyone, take care. Peace.